The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Florida may be paradise lost to many of its residents as Hurricane Milton approaches. We'll talk to Marion McKeown from the Business Post in a second, but first, Cal Thomas, nationally syndicated columnist in the US and our regular contributor here to The Last Word. I understand you're on your way out of Florida, although Miami isn't going to get the worst of it, is it?
No, they're not, Matt, but I'm headed up to Washington anyway. We're going to get 40 to 50 mile per hour winds here, which is not too bad. But the real problem is in Tampa, Florida. They're expecting storm surges up to 9 feet. The winds are bad enough, between 140, 150 miles an hour, Category 4 to Category 5. The mayor of Tampa has said for everyone to leave or you will die. Now, that's pretty stark. The roads are jammed. Flights are being canceled. I was watching the Weather Channel this morning here in the U.S., and there was an amazing graphic. The presenter was standing in front of a video that showed what it would look like if the storm surge reached 6 feet, and she was under 6 feet, and she was underwater. And homes were flooded, and cars were flooded. But then the graphic went to 9 feet, which is about the depth of many swimming pools at the deep end. And it was almost a flood of biblical proportions. Everything was swept away. So Tampa is really going to get hit hard. The good news, if there can be any good news, is that the jet stream is keeping it from reaching those areas in North Carolina and Georgia that were hit 2 weeks ago with Hurricane Helene. And people are still trying to recover from that. But they're saying now, the Weather Service, that this is the worst storm in 100 years. It's really frightening. I'm leaving not out of fear, but because I was going to go to Washington anyway. I just went a day early.
Okay, but I suppose when you think back to Hurricane Katrina nearly two decades ago, the destruction that it caused in New Orleans, it's not fear-mongering to say that Tampa could be destroyed by this hurricane, is it?
That's true, Matt. And it like Asheville, North Carolina, with Helene, it was virtually destroyed. You look at this destruction. I mean, if you go back and look at pictures from World War II and the carpet bombing of Dresden in Germany, it reminds me of some of those things. It's just terrible. And the poor people who are losing everything, their homes, their in some cases their loved ones, their pets, everything, picture books, everything that has meant something to them throughout their entire life. Of being washed away. One of the problems we have with people living near water sources, whether it be rivers or streams, is that a lot of people don't have flood insurance. And the reason for that is it's so expensive, and a lot of insurance companies have stopped writing or underwriting the policies because there is so much damage. Now, the federal government under FEMA is supposedly ready. Joe Biden just had a statement, I think, a few minutes ago on this. But even they are stretched. I mean, they're still working on the aftermath of Helene. And now we've got Milton coming, and it's just a disaster.
Okay. Does this make you reassess your dismissiveness towards man-made climate change, Cal?
No, not really, Matt. I mean, if you look at the evidence, the temperatures have dropped actually in the last few years. You still have the major polluters being China and India, which have shown no indication that they are buying into this. They're continuing to do what they've always done, and we have spent. Well, I don't have the figure in front of me, but it's certainly billions and maybe trillions of dollars on the Green New Deal projects and windmills and alternative sources of energy, solar panels, which are largely made in China, and it hasn't really brought any effect at all.
It doesn't just happen overnight, Cal. You see, this is the problem. And the waters where the hurricane came from, Marion McKeown, are hotter, and that's why this hurricane is going to be worse than anything ever seen before.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I saw several meteorologists being interviewed, and they said that this issue with the Gulf of Mexico is precisely the problem, that the water is all and all the currents are changing. And it is, they say, due to climate change, to man-made climate change. So I spoke with a friend of mine last night. She has an elderly father who lives in Tampa, and she was trying to get him out. And she said that the panic there is just unbelievable. And apparently gas stations are being shut down, and people are on the highway, but they can't get their cars refilled because the gas stations are. So it just sounds like it's a bit chaotic there. Tampa is, unlike New Orleans, it's a pretty comfortably off area, Tampa, Sarasota, all that area. And the residents are better equipped to get out. They tend to have a higher income, generally speaking, but she said it's still, you know, a pretty dire situation down there. And of course, you know, the mayor has made it very clear, if you stay, you're going to die. And it is shocking that we're on the foot of Hurricane Helene, which caused such devastation. And the mayor, Ron DeSantis, who of course had to play politics by refusing to speak to Kamala Harris, but he has said that one of the big problems is the projectiles, that after Helene, there's all this like fallen trees, masonry, concrete, devastation, tiles from houses, and that these could all be picked up and become projectiles, which would be even more deadly than the initial damage that was caused. And, you know, so it really is a dire situation.
It is a dire situation. And what about the politicization of it? You mentioned Ron DeSantis playing politics, not taking a call from Vice President Kamala Harris. But even in the last week or two after Hurricane Helene, and how Trump and his acolytes have lied, and this has been denied by Republican governors in the likes of North Carolina, about the efforts made by Joe Biden's administration to help through FEMA.
It's been absolutely disgraceful, and there's no other word for it. What Trump is trying to do is say that he's trying to, we know what a catastrophic response there was after Hurricane Katrina, and it really sent George W. Bush's poll numbers, deservedly so, plummeting, because the indifference and the callousness was just shocking. But in this situation, the Biden administration, the Democrats are always more pro-FEMA, more pro-funding this kind of thing, more getting it out there. They're doing everything they can. Trump claimed that Biden hadn't even called the Republican governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp. Brian Kemp went on television to say, this is not true. I did speak to President Biden. He called me. I missed his call. I called him back. We spoke. He called me again. That was just one example. In North Carolina, where there is Democratic Governor Roy Cooper, Biden's doing everything he can to blacken that response as well and to make it seem like he's completely inefficient. I beg your pardon, Trump. It's disgusting when you think that there are 220 people who have died, at least that we know of. There are still a lot of people missing, and if we're playing politics and lines are being jammed up because Trump is saying the reason there's no money is that all of this money is going to migrants, that migrants are getting this money. It's just not true.
What do you make of that response by Trump, Cal?
Well, let me just say, first of all, about George W. Bush and Katrina, that Bush offered the National Guard to come in the aftermath of Katrina, and the Democrat governor of Louisiana declined. A lot of people fled to Houston and to other states as a result of that. So I would make that one correction. In the past, with the exception of Katrina and what the Democrats said about Bush, these natural disasters have not been part of partisan politics. People who are suffering are Republicans, Democrats, independents, people of all racial and religious backgrounds. We shouldn't get into this. We should be trying to help each other in Asheville, North Carolina, and surrounding areas. Neighbors are helping neighbors when the government can't get into areas that have been isolated because of down power lines and other things. Even though we're close to an election, the best thing that could happen for the image of the United States and to help people would be for people to get off their soapboxes and stop trying to make a political gain out of this. I agree with Marion. It is disgraceful, and I would I condemn it.
And actually, Marion, did you hear that the Republican intellectual Marjorie Taylor Greene actually believes that this has been orchestrated, these hurricanes, by the Democrats to prevent Republicans from voting?
Well, you know, Democrats can apparently control the weather, but the only problem is that Asheville and North Carolina, which Cal just referred to, and Cal, I agree with everything you said, is a very Republican area, and that's one of the areas that has gotten the absolutely worst damage. But the fact that she's trying to say, it's a bit like the space lasers, the Rothschild family, which was a blatantly anti-Semitic slur, but she's now saying that the Democrats are controlling the weather and they're doing it to, you know, you don't want to laugh or cry, frankly, when you hear this kind of nonsense. But anyway, look, I mean, what can you say? Really, well, shake your head and that's it.
Okay, what did you make, Cal, of Elon Musk's performance at Donald Trump's weekend rally back at the location where he was grazed by a bullet in the summer?
I thought it was strange, very, very strange. He was jumping up and down like a teenager at a Taylor Swift concert. It was just weird. I mean, to borrow a phrase from Tim Walz, very strange, very weird. And now I understand that Elon Musk's mother has come out advocating for cheating on the election. I mean, can you get any stranger than this? These people need to be under home care of some kind.
But hold on, this is a guy who is controlling the algorithms and the feeds on a major social media site, X. This is a guy who goes along about freedom of speech and is endorsed and cheered by Trump on stage along those lines as well. And yet he is distorting that freedom of speech and tries to shut down those who say things that Trump doesn't like.
Yeah, it is kind of ironic, Matt. I mean, he bought Twitter allegedly because Twitter was restricting freedom of speech, especially from conservatives and Trump. And now he is engaged in what a lot of people, and I think you rightly say, is limiting the freedom of people to speak. But he's not alone on this. I mean, Hillary Clinton made a statement a day or two ago about how we need to control misinformation and disinformation. And I wondered, well, who's going to be the controller? The government? That seems to be what she was saying. I mean, if speech is not free for everybody, then it's not free for anybody. And yes, you can have your limitations. The old line about crying fire in a crowded theater when there is no fire. But otherwise, you know, you ought to be able to say that the president is an idiot or a fool, no matter who the president is.
Of course, Marion Musk claims that Trump is the only candidate who can preserve democracy in America. He also has said before this will be the last election if Trump doesn't win. And he says, I'm not just MAGA, I am dark MAGA, he said. All remarkable stuff. He also starts going on about that they want to take away your freedom of speech. They want to take away your right to bear arms. This, of course, at the location where Trump had his right ear grazed by a bullet, where a man died who they seem to have forgotten about in their celebrations of Trump surviving the assassination attempt. Another man died, and here they are celebrating guns.
Yeah, and two more seriously injured. And those kind of bullets cause life-changing injuries, you know, for the two survivors. Look, this, you know, my first reaction when I saw Elon Musk jumping up and down that stage was I just thought, you clown. And it reminded me of Tom Cruise on the sofa with Oprah Winfrey at that time when he was pretending to be excited about marrying Katie Holmes. And I just thought, but this is, you know, Musk, it's almost like a Bond villain, except for it's so much more serious. You have this man who's incredibly powerful, who has sat who the Department of Defense had to plead with not to shut down the Starlink satellites over Ukraine. He has way more power than any one individual has, and he seems unhinged, and he seems willing to use it entirely capriciously and entirely for nefarious ends at this stage. And, you know, this thing boasting him, I'm dark MAGA, it's Twitter, I could actually, you know, it's appalling that, as you say, he has that this the hypocrisy where he talks about freedom of speech and he sees himself as a self-appointed censor of anyone who says anything he doesn't agree with. But I'm much more worried about his control over satellites, over all that kind of thing. I think it's terrifying, frankly.
And then, Cal, there's a new book coming out from Bob Woodward, who, of course, was one of the two journalists who unveiled the Watergate scandal. And he has written many books about American presidents over the decades. His latest book, which is coming out, War, basically says that Donald Trump has been in regular contact with Vladimir Putin since he left office, as many as seven occasions when they may have spoke, that he also sent COVID tests to Russia at a time when there was, for Putin's personal use, at a time when they were in short supply in the United States when Trump was still president. I mean, how is this acceptable?
Well, Matt, I've known Bob Woodward for some time, and he does good reporting on occasion. But I have been suspicious of some of that reporting since the alleged interview he did with former CIA Director William Casey, who was in a coma in a Washington hospital and, of course, had security. He never said how he managed to get into the room. He never said whether he was able to rouse Casey from his coma. There's a lot of detail in this book. I've been reading the excerpts this morning from the Washington Post that I find just incredible. If some of these conversations that include Joe Biden, by the way, and Secretary of State Anthony Blinken were leaked or given to him, I mean, these things are supposed to be classified, especially conversations with foreign leaders. I don't know how he got all of this stuff, and I'm quite suspicious about it. A Trump spokesman this morning put out a statement saying it's all fiction. That's what you always do, but I'd like to know a little bit more about his sourcing and how true it is.
Marion, how did Kamala Harris's 60 Minutes TV interview go? The one that Donald Trump refused to do because he didn't want to be fact-checked on his lies.
That's right. You know, I don't think it made much of a difference either way, Matt, to be quite honest. First of all, I would kudos to Bill Whitaker, who is an excellent interviewer, who, you know, goes after the facts. He's not there to score points. He's not there to do gotchas. And he persisted. She did try to duck a couple of questions. She did give sort of non-answers, I thought, on immigration. And, you know, I think the two key issues for her, like she...
Sorry, Marion, can I just stop you there for one second, please? Because we're going to play an extract of how Bill Whitaker pressed her on immigration, and then you can continue the point.
There was an historic flood of undocumented immigrants coming across the border the first 3 years of your administration. As a matter of fact, arrivals quadrupled from the last year of President Trump. Was it a mistake to loosen the immigration policies as much as you did?
It's a long-standing problem, and solutions are at hand. And from day one, literally, we have been offering solutions.
What I was asking was it a mistake to kind of allow that flood to happen in the first place?
I think the policies that we have been proposing are about fixing a problem, not promoting a problem. Okay?
But the numbers did quadruple.
And the numbers today, because of what we have done, we have cut the flow of illegal immigration by half. We
have
cut the flow of fentanyl by half. But we need Congress to be able to act to actually fix the problem.
Okay. How did that do now? How did that go down, Marion?
Well, you know, I think she, both of them, she made a reasonable point. Yes, the thing that Bill Whitaker said there was that the Title 43 shut down the entire border during COVID. So for the last year of Trump's, because of Title 43, there were no people coming across because they were able to do that because of COVID. That had to be removed because you can't keep that in place indefinitely. But yes, he was right to hold her feet to the fire on that, on what they did after Title 33, or 43, I beg your pardon. But I think that she, you know, she is right. Congress does need to do more. But then we saw that Biden did do more in the last 6 months without Congress, regardless, after that bipartisan border bill was scuttled. But so, yes, they should have been doing more, absolutely. And I think that her answer isn't going to reassure a lot of people. It's not going to get her any new votes, I think, except from people who are so repulsed by the way Trump speaks about migrants and about immigration that they just would find it intolerable to have him back in the White House. You know, she should have been doing more of these interviews more often. I think she comes across so much better than Donald Trump as a potential leader, as somebody who is rational, who is sane, who is coherent. But, you know, still, I feel that enough people aren't really feeling that they know who she is. And I think she needs to do a lot more media in the next couple of weeks.
We will talk to both of you again later in the week. One of the promises we've made in the build-up to the election is that between now and early November, we'll have Marion and Cal on twice a week with us. Stay safe, Cal. Hopefully your flight go well, get you to Washington away from the weather.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.